Charlie was unaffected by Hester's departure, yet change soon came for him, though it had nothing to do with Hester. From time to time, a letter would come to the house, and from time to time, someone would open it. One day, the missus, finding herself in the hall, noticed a small pile of letters gathering dust on the mat under the letterbox. Perhaps Hester had written to say where she had gone, when she would return. Missus opened them. One from Charlie's banker. Was he interested in an investment opportunity? The second was an invoice from the builders for the work done on the roof. Was the third from Hester? No. The third was from the asylum. Isabel was dead. The missus stared at the letter. Dead? Isabel? Could it be true? Influenza, the letter said. Charlie would have to be told, but the missus quailed at the prospect. Better talk to Dig first, she resolved, putting the letters aside. But later, when John was sitting at his place at the kitchen table and she was topping up his cup with fresh tea, there remained no trace of the letter in her mind. It had joined those other, increasingly frequent, lost moments, lived and felt, but unrecorded, and then lost. A few days later, passing through the hall with a tray of burnt toast and bacon, she mechanically put the letters on the tray with the food, though she had no memory at all of their contents. And then the days passed, and nothing seemed to happen at all, except that the dust got thicker and the grime accumulated on the window panes, and the playing cards crept farther and farther from their box in the drawing room, and it became easier and easier to forget that there had ever been a Hester. It was John the Dig who realized, in the silence of the days, that something had happened. He was an outdoors man and not domesticated. Nevertheless, it came to his attention that the number of cups and plates was diminishing. Soon there would not be enough. Where was the missing crockery? He thought instantly of the missus making her haphazard way upstairs with a plate for Master Charlie. Had he ever seen her return an empty plate to the kitchen? No. He went upstairs. Outside the locked door, plates and cups were arranged in a long queue. The food, untouched by Charlie, was providing a fine feast for the flies that buzzed over it, and there was a powerful, unpleasant smell. How many days had the missus been leaving food here without noticing that the previous days were still untouched? He totted up the number of plates and cups and frowned. That is when he knew. He did not knock at the door. What was the point? He had to go to his shed for a piece of timber strong enough to use as a battering ram. The noise of it against the oak, the creaking and smashing as metal hinges tore away from the wood, was enough to bring us all, even the missus, to the door. When the battered door fell open, half broken off its hinges, we could hear buzzing flies, and a terrible stench billowed out, knocking Emmeline and the missus back a few steps. Even John put his hand to his mouth and turned a shade whiter. "Stay back," he ordered as he entered the room. A few paces behind, I followed him.